Our reading for September 4th is coming from Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Just like we did with chapter 4, we're going to split chapter 5 into two parts. So let's talk a little bit about this first half of chapter 5. Again, as we've been noticing over and over and over during our daily readings, we tend to see a beginning of a chapter that uses that word, therefore. So it is building on something that has been previously stated. Remember that in chapter 4, the second half, we had talked about this new life and that they should no longer walk as heathens or unbelievers. And the chapter ended with saying, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, chapter 5, be imitators of God as beloved children. Remember that we are to be holy as God is holy. And in God, there is only righteousness. He is not capable of sin. He is not capable of lying. And so for us to be imitators of God is to imitate those righteous things, those things that belong as part of the Christian character. So chapter 4, the last half, was talking about that leaving the old life and living the new life, leaving sin and embracing righteousness, letting go of all the different things that do not belong in the life of a Christian and embracing the things that do. And you'll see a little bit of overlap or repeating. For example, verse 29 of chapter 4 says, Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Well, you get into chapter 5, verse 4, and he says, Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. Well, that would fit under corrupting talk. And so we need to apply the principle of chapter 4, verse 29, to only speak the things that are for building up, that fit the occasion, that give grace to those who hear. So we're not going to be engaged in any filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking. But unfortunately, many people decide that, well, it's just humor. As long as it's just humor, it's okay. Understand that that is not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying it doesn't have a place in the life of a Christian. You need to let it go. I don't care if it's humorous or not. If it's crude, if it's foolish, if it's filthy, you don't have any business saying it. Remember, James tells us how dangerous the tongue is, that it can start a fire that grows like a wildfire or a forest fire. We need to be very careful with what comes out of our mouths. Now, I'm as guilty as anybody else of saying something careless from time to time. That's why James says it's so difficult to tame the tongue. But we need to do everything we can to control what comes out of our mouths. Think about what you're saying and don't engage in that inappropriate talking. Now, I skipped a couple of verses here in order to address that overlap between the two chapters. But he says in verse 2, "Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." So that example of Jesus stands for us. The entire gospel is based upon love. And if we can't embrace love, then we can't embrace Christ. We can't be like him. We have to be able to think about what's best for other people. We have to have a sacrificial love for others. And if we can't embrace that, then we're just not going to be able to be Christ-like. We need to walk in love as Christ loved us. And if we're doing that, then our love for Christ, our love for others, and our love for self is going to mean that sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, they don't have any place in the life of a Christian. He says, these things must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. So let me ask you a question. Think of it this way. If you want someone to be a role model for you, who are you going to pick? Are you going to pick someone that has all the traits that are commendable and they conduct themselves in a way that's honorable and they think about their behavior and their talk? Or are you going to pick somebody that is a poor example? Are you going to pick somebody that, well, they don't ever think about what they're saying? And they don't really care about how they act. And they certainly don't care about setting the right example for others. Well, the answer to the question is obvious because it's a rhetorical question. If you want a role model, you pick the person that exemplifies the traits that you find to be commendable. You don't pick the person with the traits that are despicable. So if we're talking about what's proper among the saints, it is that commendable trait, is that commendable character. And we also have to realize that that's not just for a preacher or an elder or somebody who leads in the worship. No, you are a role model for someone somewhere. Somewhere there's a family member that looks to you. There's someone in the community that looks to you. There's a neighbor that looks to you. There's someone at school that looks to you. No matter what position of or part of your life you're in, someone looks to you. Even young people influence each other's behaviors. We need to be conducting ourselves in a way that is proper among the saints so that, number one, we don't blaspheme against God by the way that we act. We don't blaspheme the name of Christ amongst those who are unbelievers because of the way we act. And we don't cause a stumbling block for our brethren. We need to take care how we act. Not only that, but you are endangering your own soul. Do you want to be commended by God or not? You cannot be commended by God, but continually partake in this foolish and corrupted way of life. Verse 5, "You may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous," that is, an idolater, "has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." You know, covetousness is so rampant in our society today that this is such a strong statement for him to say that to be covetous is to be an idolater. He's saying that if you're coveting things, then that's going to become the focus of your life, and you're going to stop living for God, and you're going to start living for whatever you are coveting. And so that is going to put you in that idolatrous position. It doesn't have to be a religion of idolatry. It's a way of life that is idolatry. So if you're engaged in this foolish and corrupted way of life, you're not going to be able to inherit the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Don't accept anybody rationalizing this out. Well, people rationalize all the time because they want to justify themselves. They don't want to be condemned. They don't want to look condemned. And they're trying to convince themselves over their conscience. No, and don't be deceived by rationalization. "Do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. walk as children of light. If you're walking in a way that is proper among the saints, then your behavior is a proclamation of the gospel. And as a proclamation of the gospel, you are exposing the works of darkness. You are the light of Christ in the world simply by living that righteous life. And so you need to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. I would point you back to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that by so doing, we will be able to discern what is good and what is right in the Lord. Verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. That's already been stated, but he's reiterating that here in verse 11. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Some people aren't even that secretive. Some people think, well, I'll just do whatever I want, and you don't like it, then, you know, go take a hike. That's their attitude. But it's shameful, the things that people say and do. When anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Let's make sure that we're shining the light of Christ and we're not part of the darkness. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. You can be wise simply by consulting the Word of God. Let the Word of God teach you how to walk and make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Well, one of the lies of Satan is you've got plenty of time. Just push that off till tomorrow. No, you don't have to make any changes today. You know, do what you enjoy today, and then later on, later in life, the next decade or the decade after that, then you'll get things together and then you'll be the right kind of person. But right now you get to enjoy yourself. That's a big fat lie. I've seen young people die without any warning. I've seen people killed in car wrecks. I've seen whole families die in car wrecks. You don't know how much time you have. In addition to that, we don't know how long the Lord is going to put up with this world. He may decide that tomorrow is the day that he sends Jesus in order to claim his own. So therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, that's part of making best use of the time. He throws in a few more things here. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In order to be filled with the Spirit, you need to be partaking in the Word of God. You're doing that right now by participating in these daily Bible readings. But it's not just that. It says, address one another, and it lists psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Psalms would be what is in our Bibles as the Psalms, or you could classify that wisdom literature. We need to be addressing one another with spiritual truths that come from God. We can do that in speaking terms. We can do that through hymns and songs. And instead of finding our enjoyment through sinful means and through debauchery and drunkenness, we find our fulfillment and our happiness in the Lord. And that will put us in the direction of singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. That means that we rejoice from deep within us, and that we will be giving thanks always. That thankful attitude that must exist in the life of a Christian for us to feel hopeful, for us to feel grateful, and for us to express to the Lord our thankfulness toward Him. That's part of our prayer life that should exist on a constant basis. And of course, he says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That goes back to the addressing one another with those spiritual truths. All right, we'll finish up chapter 5 tomorrow. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.